One of the things you gotta love, real vinyl. Big, huge mahalo to Thomas. Thanks so much for filling in and filling in and wow, filling in like amazing. Everybody, so fantastic, this drive. Wow, so humble, so great, so stoked, so happy to be here right here with you now on KKCR Hanalei. K-A-Q-A Kilauea. Got Out of the Box coming up next. And thought you might want to hear this. This episode of Out of the Box is brought to you by the fine, fine people just like you who pledge your support, who believe in the mission of this station to bring you the unheard views and tunes and music and expressions of passion just like you. So thanks so much to Kalaheo Chiropractic and Qingyang Village.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo Jeff Culverhouse for your support.
That's right. Thank you so much, Kalaheo Chiropractic and Qingyang Village. What else you want to say? Oh, this is good.
This is Ron Wiley, KKCR Hanalei. And K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio.
A consummate professional and one of the amazing voices of the radio here on Kauai, Ron Wiley. So big ups to you, Ron. What else we got? Oh, Amy Goodman.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
This is Ron Wiley, KKCR, Hanalei.
Oh, Ron. Everyone loves Ron. I know I do. And Amy Goodman, wow, thank you so much for doing the amazing work that you do every day, broadcasting alternative perspectives on the world. And thank you so much for the support that you encourage our listeners here at Kauai Community Radio to emulate. You know, we just finished an amazing drive. As a matter of fact, the drive isn't really over. When we broke our goal, we met our goal on Wednesday. We had 162 new members and just over $60,000, all raised by people just like you, listeners like you, who maybe never were a member before, but were inspired by everything that you heard to become a supporting member of KKCR, of our community, and to help move the mission to build our community forward. So thank you so much to everyone, to the 162 new members and the continuing members who have sustained KKCR over 17 years now. We we truly were the little station that could, and now we are growing. So thanks so much to your support. You're helping us not only survive, but thrive and build capacity. So since the ending, the official ending of the drive, more than 1,000 additional dollars have come in and 8 brand new members. We now have 170 new members. So big ups to everyone. And I think I'll be getting some of the names of the folks who pledged on this show last week. So thanks so much to that for everyone. So big Thomas, you're a monster, man. Filling in today, 4 hours. What number was that? 533. That's incredible. Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thomas has got some big slippers to fill, but you know, the phone lines are open. 808-826-7771. Got a great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. Politics in America still percolating along. I don't know how closely you may follow events in America. We try and keep an eye on it here because what happens in America usually has some kind of effect here in Hawaii. But, you know, it's good to be informed about what's going on in the world, and it's even better to be plugged into your community. So thanks so much for tuning in and plugging into Kauai Community Radio. We're happy to be in service to you. So like I said a moment ago, phone lines are open, 808-826-7771. Politics in America, that's one thing. The drive, that's super huge. Gigantic mahalo to everyone for that. So many volunteers, so much good food, so much wave riders, so many continuing sustaining members, so many brand new members. It's really exciting to be a volunteer here at KKCR because after 17 years, you know what? I think we've really found ourselves. For the first 10 years, it seemed like there was some debate, some difference of perspectives and views, a diversity, which is good, about what the station was going to be. But hey, guess what? There's no more guessing because we are what we are, and we are thriving. So thanks so much to people just like you. Super appreciate it. I think that we are hitting a stride now, and I think that the next couple of years are really going to be transformative and amazing. And with listeners like you who decide, hey, I think what they're doing is awesome, and I want to help get it done faster, bigger, better, more. Bigger isn't always better. Sometimes you don't have to change at all. You just sink more deeply into yourself. That's the kind of evolution I'm hoping to see that I am seeing here, and that with support from people just like you, we're gonna accelerate. So super stoked about that. Later at 5 o'clock, I think we'll be talking to some people in New York City. You know, ever since the Europeans first documented their discovery of the Hawaiian Islands, and before that, thousands of years before that, Polynesians were sailing all over the watery half of the world, up from Southeast Asia and through Fiji and Tonga and Samoa and the Hebrides and Tahiti and the Society Islands and all the Micronesia, everywhere. But in the last couple hundred years, the Polynesian diaspora and the Polynesian Renaissance has continued. Now, you may have noticed, you may be following, maybe a little aware, that the Hokulea, which is a replica Polynesian voyaging canoe, back in the 70s, as part of the Hawaiian Renaissance, they went to the old Olelo and the old Ki'i Pohaku, and they looked at how did the Polynesians get here in the first place. So they said, hey, you know what? I think they sailed here because there's stories, all kinds of stories in great detail about the comings and goings of Moikeha and the way that the winds were sealed in a gourd, and the navigation and the stars, and the way the Polynesians went back and forth across the ocean, family contacts, and bringing plants and animals and all the materials they would need to colonize a new island and populate it and make it verdant and vibrant and filled with life and vitality. The Polynesians have been doing that for thousands of years. Well, today, you know, now they're sailing around the world. The Hokulea, the first replica Polynesian canoe that was made back in the 70s, back when a lot of people said, oh, that is not true. Oh, the Polynesians can't do it. Oh, the Hawaiians, they probably drifted here from somewhere. Well, not only is it true that that's what happened, they found all kinds of additional archaeological evidence to support the olelo, the stories that were handed down from generation to generation. The memory of the Hawaiian people is incredible. They didn't need books or library because they had all that information embedded within them. So the last, 40 years since the 70s, the Polynesians have been sailing their canoes back and forth to Tahiti, back and forth across the Pacific, and now across the oceans, through the Straits of Malacca, through Southeast Asia, through the Indian Ocean, to Africa, Madagascar, the Cape of Good Hope, around, across the Atlantic to Brazil, then back to Europe, and sail around in the Mediterranean a little bit. And then a few weeks ago, they landed in Washington, D.C. And so, yeah, check it out. The Polynesian Voyaging Canoe, the great Va'a, traveling across the oceans of the world, sailing up the Potomac River in the Chesapeake Bay. It's pretty amazing. You saw photographs of it at just anchored just offshore the Lincoln Library. And that was the last week and all kinds of big celebrations and stuff. But the Hokulea is continuing their tour. They're now crawling up the Atlantic coast, the west coast of the Atlantic Ocean, and going to be in New York City in about a week or so. So we're going to be hearing from some people from New York. Very excited, and they're doing lots of preparation. The hula halau there are getting ready, and they're making leis and making sure they have their chants and their mele all perfected. So they're going to have huge welcoming ceremonies in the Big Apple for the Hokulea voyaging canoe, the canoe that a lot of people said they couldn't do. But you know what? They're showing that even to the non-believers, wow, the Polynesians can really navigate. And they're not just navigating, you know, like the Europeans, a lot of times the reason they went to explore was to find new lands to conquer, or treasure to plunder, or what else? Empires to build, commerce to conduct. The Polynesians have a different way of understanding the world, and the value that they're bringing is not conquest or profit or plunder. They are sharing the lessons that they have learned from navigating across the oceans for the little pinprick islands and sustainably living on them for thousands of years. And that's to malama honua, to take care of the world. So, because if you take care of the world will take care of you. And that's what the West, for all of its exploration and technology and military prowess, ho! needs to understand that a little bit better. So I want to mahalo the Hokulea and everybody in the Polynesian Navigation Society for bringing this important message to the rest of the world. Because, hey, that's like the most important thing to learn. If we can't keep living here, nothing else matters, you know? I mean, it's as simple as that. Phone lines are open, 808-826-7771. Oh, and I guess I should play this.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That is correct. That is true. That is right. That is proper. That is pono. That's how we do it. You know why? Because this is a platform for free speech. On Kauai Community Radio, you will hear people speak from their heart, speak with their passion, speak from their direct personal experience. And that's what I try and do, and that's what I invite you to do right here, right now. If you have something that you want to share, you have something that you just experienced, some knowledge or some something on your heart that's weighing heavy, or something joyful that you want to bring to the attention of the community, through the magic of radio, your voice can be heard all across the island, all across all of Kauai, in every moku, in every ahupua'a, in every ili, in every district, in every watershed, in every parcel of land. Your voice carries. That's the magic of radio. And because we're streaming around the world at kkcr.org, your voice goes not just to Kauai and Niihau, and not just Oahu, but all the other islands. So Lanai, Molokai, Maui, Kaho'okawe, Big Island, Moku'okeawe, everywhere. And the whole island Earth, because it streams around the world at kkcr.org. And so I want to say a big mahalo to people in Japan and people in Kitchener in Canada, Ontario, Lakewood in California, Clearwater, Florida, around the world, Astoria, Oregon. Wow, 49 people. Hey, that's amazing. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wow. So thanks so much, everybody listening. We got a caller right now. Going to get these folks online right now. The phone line will be open in a second, 808-826-7771. Aloha, caller. You are on the air. Can you hear me, caller?
Aloha. I can. Mahalo nui for all that you hold there, man. We're really, really grateful over here. Wondering if you know of and would like to share any about Kaini and a local brother who's holding such amazing knowledge of the ancient Hawaiian and Polynesian people, and how land was just gifted back to him and his family that was illegally, you know, kind of stolen and illegally sold by the county of Kauai.
Oh, wow. So maybe you could give an update on that. That's news to me.
Well, I wish Kaimi would call, and he certainly is more qualified than myself. But I'm just so grateful to be alive and be on this island and be part of this amazing awakening of consciousness. And you know, some of the words that you just shared just really inspired me to call, and just, you know, it's kind of symbolic of what's happening, you know, among the RIMPAC that's coming here.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the GMOs and the insanity within the federal government and the politics and the run for president. And among some of the darkest moments, we have such beautiful beauty and light and awareness and consciousness that's rising and that's shifting things every day. And one of the things is that, and again, if Sun is out there or if Kaimi or anybody that knows more than myself, I'm certainly not super qualified to share this, other than, you know, Kaimi is a dear brother and a dear cousin, nephew, to us all here, and his family, I'm not sure the person's name, but a person, perhaps a white person from the U.S., bought an enormous amount of, well, some amount of land that is the sacred hui that is up in Princeville across from the Church of the Pacific. That's, let me see if I can remember how to say it. I'm attempting to say the name correctly. I think it's Po'ahu. I meant Heiau.
No, it's called Po'oku.
Okay, mahalo. Yeah, you know more than me probably.
And No. I just, Kaimi told me how to pronounce it correctly. So mahalo, Kaimi. Yeah.
Yeah, mahalo, Kaimi. If you are listening or Sun is listening, please call in and help share to the world what is happening. Also, Kaimi is part of, let me just jump ahead and I'll come back to the land. He's part of this amazing launching of, I think it's the double hull canoe that's going to be happening at Na Wili Wili.
Yeah, do you have a date on that?
No, and that's one reason I was calling too. I'm like wondering when that is. I think it's, you know, coming up maybe in June or July, but you know, so stay posted, and I pray that he comes on to your show or to Songs of Sovereignty or another show to really let the people know how they can get involved and support what's happening. And to get back to the heiau a little bit, this is a sacred heiau, of course, as all of them are, specifically a masculine heiau that during the summer months was a very key point in their navigating the stars. And they can see in the summer months when the sun is far enough in the north, both in the northeast and in the northwest, you can see the moon, sorry, the sunrise and the sunset from this point. If a bunch of the foliage isn't overgrown, of course. And from here, it also lines up with the sacred feminine heiau, which is on the other side of the island.
Do you know which one that is?
I can't remember the name of that. Forgive me. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You know what? It's okay. So just hold on a moment, for caller. If you are listening right now and you have some mana'o that you can share about po'oku heiau up here in Halelea, or a sister heiau that Brother Hero is just speaking about, please do call in 826-7771. So I just wanted to send out that kahea. So probably in a minute or two, someone will call in, because we have the smartest listeners in the world. So thank you, and please continue.
Mahalo nui. And what Ka'imi is sharing is that his vision is, folks on a regular basis are gathering on Sundays for that heiau that was gifted back to his family by this person that purchased it and knew that this was basically, that this is a sovereign nation illegally occupied by the United States government and military, that the county was never really legally, even within under those laws, legally allowed to sell this land, yet they put it up for sale. Thankfully, the person that, I don't know all the details, but perhaps he learned some of the politics and had it the graciousness to buy it and then gift it back to Ka'imi's family so that it can be held in perpetuity the way that it used to be. And they're in the process, we are in the process of cleaning up that heiau. And his vision is that when that heiau is restored, there's going to be part of the, I can't remember all the names, but part of the beautiful altar and navigational components that are set up there. And his vision is that when that is restored, that it will help to restore the wounded masculine, the wounded patriarchy, the wounded men and boys within this island and within the world, and realigning this heiau with the feminine heiau that is, again, I think more on the south side of the island. And just this vision of reclaiming our birthright, reclaiming our sovereignty, reclaiming our divinity, and working together as an ohana and as all different colors and different nationalities, yet one human people, one human race, one human ohana to bring about, justice and peace and harmony within the world. And so I just wanted to share that, and mahalo nui for this show and for bringing the information that you're holding, and to Ka'imi and to all the beautiful people that are holding this ancient knowledge in such a beautiful, passionate way. And we are the ones that we have been waiting for. We are the ones that have been prophesied to be this rainbow bridge between all nations and all peoples, and holding these big entities accountable and saying, enough is enough, no more.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering and humbling to be alive at this time, because people have been saying, hey, this isn't right, this isn't good, this is not going to work, you're going to run into problems with this, for so long, and because there's wise people out there, and they're like, hey, you know what, that's not a good way, this is a far better way to go about it, and people haven't listened for so long. But right now, big changes are happening, and I think they've been happening for a long time, but now is like the tip of the iceberg. We're starting to see the changes are already swinging around into place, and it's really humbling and exciting to be alive and to be able to see, like, wow, look at so much of humanity is waking up, and getting back to the basics, like respect and love and compassion, because all this stuff with capitalism and imperialism and militarism and, God, it's just so tired. It's just so tired. And people are figuring it out. That's what's so exciting. It's what's so exciting to see. And I think that, as I begin to see more of that, I get like relaxed. I get more relaxed, get more calm. And I really appreciate it. And I want to thank everybody for that, because the more calm I am, the more effective I can be and the more efficient I can be and the more good work I can get done. So I just really thank you. I thank everybody. You know, all the support on the drive here. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars. You know, $10 here, $25 here, $10 a month there, dollar a day here. It all adds up. And it's so humbling, and it's such an honor to be able to come up here every couple of weeks and do a show and open up the phones and get calls in from people like you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, mahalo nui. And I don't know if you feel like spinning a tune or two, but for maybe from folks living off island or far away, I know you were just sharing some of the beautiful people that are listening on other lands. You know, if you feel moved, maybe you could share with them, whether they know it or not, the amazing song Paradise Lost by Sudden Rush.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I could try to dig that up. That sounds like a good one. I love Sudden Rush.
Yeah.
I wish they would come back to Kauai and do a show. I saw them once 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, see, send out the vibrations.
Yeah.
And if you know who to call, call them.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, well, hey, I'm going to get off the phone, and much, much love, and mahalo nui loa for all that you do and all that KKCR does.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Aloha.
Aloha. And all the people who are listening on the radio on 90.9 here on the North Shore and the Moku of Halelea, or on 92.7 in Anahola or Moloa'a, that's the Moku of Ko'olau. And then on the east side, the Moku of Puna, the district of Puna, 91.9 FM. Because the transmitter is at the summit of Mount Kahili. Mount Kahili. And so Mount Kahili looks down over all of Puna and also west to the district of Kona. So everybody on the west side and all the people who are listening on the west side in Hanapepe and Kaumakani and Pakalas and Waimea and Kekaha and Mana, everybody out there on the west side, big ups to you. Thank you so much for your support over the last couple of weeks and the last 17 years. Super appreciate folks right now listening online around the world in Mexico or France, California. Oh, Chok people listening in Hilo. Big ups, big island. So, yeah, phone lines are open, 826-7771. And I want to hear from you. What's going on in your world? What's going on in your backyard? What's happening in your Ahupua'a? Would love to hear you call in and report from your heart around the world and to everyone listening to KKCR. It's such an honor, and it's such a fantastic opportunity. You know, when the community comes together like this to create an amazing resource, and then so many people come up and volunteer, and they share their passion and their knowledge about music or current events, or things happening in your community and how you can plug in. You know, like Felicia does her shows on Tuesday afternoons, Kauai Soapbox Live. It's amazing the amount of research that she does, and Marshall, he's there in the studio with her, and he's like looking up stuff online and answering phones and doing research. And you know, if you think that what they do is great, and I do, and you want to help more of that happen, I would love for you to come on to this show on Thursdays and help either me or Jimmy. We got a caller calling in right now at 826-7771. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for your show. I had the Ahupua'a of Kalihivai translated from the grant of King Kamehameha III.
Oh, what did you learn?
We're to have this as God's gift with no taxes hanging over our head.
That's the translation?
Yeah, free and clear. Go with God.
Huh. That's awesome.
So I filed in a minor civil division manner, and if I feel like I need to use the zip code, I put brackets around it.
Oh, yeah, because the zip code, that's an American postal code.
It's a zipped in. It's a global agenda. Zip plus four.
So, yeah, you know, recently I started I live in the Wailua Homestead, just a mauka of Sleeping Giant, no. And, you know, recently on my return address, I don't put Kapa'a down anymore because that's a different Aupua. That's further up the coast. I'm starting to put down Olohena, and it just feels really nice to get that back into the mix out there.
The Census Bureau took over in some respects to put the zip in place. But if you go by your minor civil division, and if you research it on the Internet, you get to a point where GNIS, which is...
Can I ask you to speak a little bit more?
GNIS.
There we go. Thank you.
Which is a good one to look up on the Internet.
And what does that stand for?
Governmental something. Information.
GNIS. See, now, if Marshall was in here, I would say, Marshall, what does that stand for? And he'd look it up and we'd find out. But, you know, I'm kind of lucky. I'm not as lucky to have Marshall on here, but I do have several arms. So it's the Geographic Names Information System.
And if one looks in there and looks at the island of Kauai, the museum is owned by Homeland Security.
So if I could again just ask you to speak directly into your phone, because you have great things to say, and I want everybody to be able to hear.
The museum owner is listed as Homeland Security. It's Orwellian. Libraries are taken off because they're not functional, something along those lines. So that's a good one to research, the GNIS.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I pulled it up on the internet webs, and it says that the Geographic Names Information System, GNIS, was developed by the U.S. Geological Survey in cooperation with the U.S. Board on Geographic Names, and it contains information about physical and cultural geographic features in the United States and associated areas. I guess that's kind of what Hawaii is. We're an associated area. But this is both current and historical, and the database holds the federally recognized name of each feature and defines the location of the feature by state, county, USGS topo map. They have some amazing topo maps, and as well as the geographic coordinates. But, you know, the thing that popped out to me here is it says it holds the federally recognized name of each feature. There's a lot of things that have names that the U.S. federal government has failed to recognize.
That's why it's good to learn how to get rid of the zip, which legalese, if you put it in brackets, then it means it can be stricken.
Oh.
And it's not for real.
So now, is there a difference between brackets and parentheses?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because if you're going to get all legal, then you want to make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's and don't use...
You need to bust out Black's Law Dictionary.
All right, so brackets and not parentheses.
Or the box, especially your signature, because maritime law, you're a soul lost at sea and you're in a coffin, so put yourself in a box. Not that it's recognized a whole bunch, but that's the thought behind it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with all of the listeners on
what's Kauai going on in my ahupua'a. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aloha. So we had a request a little bit ago for some Sudden Rush. Paradise Lost, I think, was. Let's see if we can bring that up. Oh, here we go. Phone lines are open. Do call in 808-826-7771. You got it on Out of the Box here on Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
Well, here I go, dropping what I know, taking my audible time, busting around for the holla home. So, listen up, my local bro, as I get my point across. In a paradise on the brink of being lost to the man. Don't you understand? The same man who stole the blacks from their motherland. So you can take my house, take my car, and try to take my name. But the blood that flows through these veins will always be the same.
Here is the dark of my eyes, and I analyze with my eyes. And they are not the greatest as the government lies. I just get up, it's not fighting. The only way to get what we deserve is by uniting. Cause I ain't coming to
fighting with our people and our land. I don't think we can deal with this kind of separation. Look at the Japanese, at least they got reparations, being thrown in the camp during the Second World War. So won't somebody tell me what the hell I'm fighting for? For my blood, for my land, for my life, for my mama, for my pops and all the people that is living in this drama. I'ma drop a funky line to the bass and the drum. Never forgetting, ripping and shredding, never forgetting where I'm from.
Hawaiians everywhere, try to understand the land. It don't matter if you're living here or the mainland. You're still in the muscle, listen to what I say. Much love to the Hawaiians and the U.S. of A. Oh, there's no feeling like the feeling of a true pillow was spirit. The people too severe it, as the people wanna hear it.
As plain as the gold at the Sonico Chalice.
As clean as a crime committed at the Royal Palace.
As plain as the blood that was shed on the cross. We don't wanna live in a paradise lost.
Attention recyclers, beginning June 1st, Kauai residents and businesses can recycle their electronic waste free of charge 6 days a week. E-waste will be accepted at the Puhi Metals Recycling Center Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Puhi Metals is located at 3951 Puhi Road, about a mile from the intersection of Kaumualii Highway. Acceptable e-waste includes computers and accessories, televisions, printers, office equipment, audio and video equipment, and handheld devices. All brands of e-waste will be accepted free of charge with no quantity limits. Services are provided by Resource Recovery Solutions, and e-waste is shipped for recycling to IMS Electronics Recycling in Washington. For more information, call the County Recycling Office at 241-4841, 241-4841, or visit our website at kauai.gov/e-waste, kauai.gov/e-waste. Help keep our garden aisle green. Recycle your e-waste.
Yeah, you know, we don't need to throw our future away. Kauai can sort it out. I'm so happy that the e-waste program has been re-jump-started. It's a really, really great program for keeping toxic electronic consumer items out of our local landfill. So, and it had been canceled. So big ups to the County of Kauai and the Solid Waste Diversion Division for getting that that program refunded and re-plugged back in. Also, want to let you know that we here at the station, we listen to you, and we're always looking for ideas about shows that we could do, shows that you'd like to hear more about, and shows that you would like to volunteer yourself to help produce. It takes a lot of work to learn how to run all the board and the phones and play the right underwriting spots at the right time. It took me a long time. It'd probably be easier for you. But we can be happy to train you to learn how to do all that stuff, and super happy to plug you in right away if there's an event or a story that you know about that you want to bring everyone's attention to. I would be happy to work with you to you can produce that segment, and then I could engineer it while you come in. This is community radio, and the more members of the community that we get on here, the more KKCR will be broadcasting the community. Every single person here is a volunteer, but you know what? There's no limit on the number of volunteers that we can get here at the station. The sky is the limit. So we want to hear from you. If you have some ideas, you want to get involved, there's opportunities. Check this out.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Yes, listening to you. And we have
KKCR and its volunteers would like to thank the following food donors for their generosity.
Well, we're going to thank the food people in a second because they really stoked us out. But right now, since we said that we were listening to you and then you called in, caller, what do you got to say?
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I was just calling. I don't know if you've talked about this or not, but I was just wondering if anyone has any thoughts or opinions on the pig and white Kahlua on the people's farm down the side of the highway.
Oh, what's the story with that? I think I know what you're talking about, but maybe you could explain.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I think I maybe do, but you definitely know what you're talking about, so please share.
On the Mauka side, Kilauea Farms on the highway there, the people who own that property, I've heard that they put out dog food for and then they bring in the pigs, the wild pigs from the valley above, and they come in and they, you know, eat the dog food every night, and then people are pulling over, like, a lot of it's kind of an attraction now. It's kind of wild. There's like 200 plus pigs.
It's like a herd of pigs, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But it's not wild. It's wild, but not wild. But people are pulling over, and I've seen like multiple almost accidents. Actually, I almost got in a couple myself, you know, like rear-ending people because they just all of a sudden they're stopping in the middle of the highway.
Wow, that sounds dangerous.
Pretty dangerous.
And it also, I don't know if this is true, but I'm guessing that maybe you're following too closely?
Maybe, yeah, because I live around there and I'm about to make my turn. But I'm driving cautiously because I am turning in just a second after that. So.
Well, they say you're supposed to have 5 full seconds of following distance between you and the car in front of you. So, like, if you watch them, they go past like a telephone pole, you go 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Just an idea. I'm always looking out for safety. You know me.
I probably have like 10 between. I'm the most cautious driver out there. If everybody just drove like me, it would all be good.
All right. Well, that. Thank you for the excellent example you're setting for our community.
No, I write people to ask this sometimes. But
only if they ask you to?
Pretty much.
Okay. So anyways, back to the pigs.
Yeah, back to the pigs. So I was just wondering if anybody knew anything else about it, because one thing is we do live in the area, you know, and we, you know, hunt on our property and our neighbor's properties and stuff, but the pigs in the area are getting, there's a lot more of them.
Choke pigs a lot out.
Because of that, I'm pretty sure, because since they started doing that, it's increased and it just keeps getting more and more and more and more. Then they're kind of like coming around doing a lot of more damage than normal.
Oh, like rooting around. You have a garden?
We have a lot of gardens and orchards and we're planting trees and, you know, it's like, it's a farm.
Right.
Anyway, I was just wondering if anybody knew anything about it.
I think I know a little bit about that. I think, you know, Jack Harder, the helicopter company guy.
Yeah,
I think that's maybe his daughter lives there, and she just loves animals, and so A couple of years ago, I was talking to her about that, and I think there was like 40 or 50 pigs at that point. And,
yeah.
And but now you're saying there's like 200. That's a lot of pigs.
I mean, even if it's 100, that's a lot, right? I mean, I kind of like look at it, and it's like it could almost be like 150 to 200 pigs sometimes, like tons of babies, and you know. But anyway, it's kind of cool too. At the same time, I mean, when do people get to see that? You know, and it's like it's not just tourists looking; it's plenty of local people coming over and just, you know, checking it out.
Cause right. Well, I was over at her house one evening, and like a situation erupted because. You know, there's all these pigs running around in the pasture with the horses and dogs and cats and stuff, chickens. Somebody pulled over in their pickup truck and they actually like shot a pig.
Yeah, I think I know the guy actually.
And,
that happened a while back when they first started doing it.
Yeah.
Everybody was confused.
Yeah, because like, oh, see all these pigs. Oh, get it. Oh, get some sausage. Oh, get dinner. But you know what? It's not too cool to, like, pull over the side of the road and start shooting pigs in
somebody's pasture.
Yeah,
that's illegal, you know,
to
do anyway. But and then you're on someone else's private land without their permission and the whole thing. But
no, he wasn't on land. He just was on the side of the road.
But he shot it on their property.
He
right?
did. And then they were, like, trying to figure out what to do. So that was the situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people want, you know, it's like all these pigs. Like, wow, let's just go fill up the freezer really quick, you know. But anyway, okay.
Cool. Well, thank you
I don't
so
know
much
if
for.
It's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm curious.
It's just
cool
a thing. It's just we got another caller who called in and is standing by right now. So I want to thank you for calling in and sharing this report. You're basically giving a report about a thundering herd of pigs. And where else are you going to hear that but on your community radio station?
Exactly.
So
Ron Wiley might talk about it.
Maybe, but we're doing it now. And I want to thank you also for your support of KKCR in the past. And I know your little girl, I think she was our newest member in the last drive. Has she re-upped her membership?
No, she has not. She's
all right. Well, I don't know what her browser of choice is, but she can go online right now to KKCR.org and click on the donate button, and you probably can help her fill out the rest of the stuff.
I'll make her do it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
You're awesome. Aloha. And we're going to go – oh, wait, the caller. Caller, who is holding standing by, please call back. The phone lines are open again, 808-826-7771. Let's listen to a little – Crazy Eddie while we're taking a break. This is one of Crazy Eddie's songs about food. And I wanted to play this for Nihi because at 5:30, Nihi's going to come in and we're going to do What's for Dinner. So stick around for that. I'm crazy hungry right now. But this is Crazy Eddie, and this is a song about food. Phone lines are open, 808-826-7771. Thanks so much to everybody listening and your support for Kauai Community Radio. And call in right now and let us know how you feel.
Sweet breeze.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
A city during our spring fun drive. Harvest Market and Kayla Coberty in Hanalei. Hideaway's Pizza Pub in Princeville. North Shore General Store in Princeville. The Greenery Cafe in Lihue. Ono Pops. Pauhana Pizza in Kilauea. Tiki Iniki in Princeville. Yakurus Organic Bagelry. Cousin Rich. Tiki Tacos in Kapa'a. Hanai in Kapa'a. The Be Kind Apiary. Tiny Isle Chocolate Truffles. John Gordon. Barracuda in Hanalei. Kauai Beekeepers Association. Coconut Cup in Kapa'a. Kealia Farm Market. Phytolicious Foods. Ninth Island Sports Bar and Grill. Mahalo for the Ono Grinds from KKCR.
So that's a little bit of Crazy Eddie, and also a big mahalo to all the restaurants and vendors and chefs and chocolatissiers and everybody who helped feed all the volunteers during the drive. Super appreciate. Made for an amazingly successful drive that is still going. I mean, since the drive ended, we've raised more than $1,000 and get eight new members. So we're at 170 members. It's really awesome. Caller, thank you so much for calling in. You said you had an update on the pigs.
Yeah, update on the pigs. I wanted to say that I really appreciate the Arters' love for animals, first of all. But their love for animals is taking priority over the amount of devastation that is being caused in the whole kind of Kilauea, North Shore, outside of Kilauea area for farmers.
And, how do you mean?
And, well, they're the pigs, because there's so many pigs that are being born now in this situation because they're safe. They feel safe in that. And they're on their 10 acres. They're getting fed all the time, and there's so many pigs. If you ever go and watch them, there's tons of male pigs. And from what I understand, the male pigs, kind of like in other wild animals, they all stay together in one spot. When the pigs get bigger, the male pigs go off onto another, their own territory. So they're spreading out all over the place, and there are many farmers that depend on their crops to make a living that are now getting lots of feral pigs on their property, digging up their cassavas and their sweet potatoes, most root crops, then they've never had pigs before.
Oh, yeah, pigs love to root around.
Yeah, so what's happening is one of the local farmers has started a change.org petition.
Oh.
Basically to the DLNR, because we want it stopped. What's going on? We live on the same street that the Harters do up the road, and we've also had many pigs digging up our yard, too, as well as all of our neighbors around us.
Huh.
So
could I ask you a question?
Basically, we've tried talking to them.
That was my question, yeah.
Yeah, and they just love animals.
Well, who doesn't?
Have.
I mean, I love pigs. I love pigs, especially, like, pork chops, oh, so good. Yeah. So, oh no. Bacon,
well,
bacon's really
another
good.
Another problem with that is that they're feeding them all kind of really, from what I can tell, cheap GMO dog food and stuff like that.
Oh, that doesn't sound so good.
Yeah, so if you are a hunter and want to eat them, you have to deal with that.
So what's the solution?
We're going to meet with the DLNR tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Morning, so we'll have more information after that.
All right, well, you know, I'm glad to hear that neighbors are getting together. I'm sorry to hear that the pig magnet is causing some friction in the neighbor farmers. That seems unfortunate. I can't imagine that if the Harters are nice people, if you go to them and say, hey, you know what? Love that you love these animals. It's great. Here's perhaps the unintended consequence that maybe you were not aware of. What's a good solution?
They do know that.
Huh. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck, especially with the DLNR, because I don't know very many things that the DLNR is doing that it creates good solutions to. They seem like it's a problematic agency. I know there's a lot of people there who try and do good work, but you know, like we were listening earlier today about Kalalau Trail, you know, that's the DLNR's responsibility, but they don't take care of the trail, all the garbage piles up, the way they have permits for the folks who want to go out to beautiful Kalalau Valley. It's all booked up months in advance, and a lot of local families cannot go unless they go illegally. And then they get tickets and fines. I had a friend who went, you know, because she wanted to go out there with her husband and three kids. And I think it's $20 per person per night. And just for a family of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's like $200 for a weekend. And, you know, that's expensive. So
it's a lot.
It is. So you would think that there should be. Yeah. But also the DLNR should take care of the trail because it's treacherous.
And, yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, that's just one example. We could talk about the DLNR up on Mauna Kea, you know, and like what they have done there and how poorly it's being managed. And I don't want to, you know, be negative, but I always find that the most direct solutions are the best. And if you can come up to a solution with you and your neighbors in your community, and you don't have to bring some state or federal agency into the mix, sometimes it's easier. I don't know.
Well, I don't either. I think a lot of different people have tried, and nothing has worked yet. I know it's causing a lot of people a lot of expense. The neighbors across the street have had to put in a pig fence around their whole property.
Sure.
So that they're not damaged. There's just a lot going on down there. Plus, there's on the highway, and there's children getting out of the car. There's not a fence. There's just a... The fence there is only wooden.
Yeah, it's like a palisade. Yeah.
And they did put some wire across the bottom of it to protect people, but I don't know what kind of protection that is to people. But anyway, thank you for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you for calling in. Really appreciate that. And if anybody knows the Harters, from my experience dealing with them, very nice people. I know Jack Harter's been on the island for a long, long time, so... he and his family are no stranger to Kauai. Sometimes it's easy to get, upset and angry, especially like if, you know, pigs are messing up your farm, because, hey, it's like your livelihood. So I get it. It's a serious situation. But sometimes if you take a deep breath and people work together, come up with a solution. I hope that could be the case here. And if Kauai Community Radio, if KKCR can play a helpful role in bringing people together and kind of figuring out solutions, that would be dynamite. I think that we have a caller on the phone right now. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Can you hear? Let's try this one. There we go. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
So about the pigs the pigs are going down to the neighborhoods and eating their gardens. This is what I know about them. Because the mountains are running out of food because the water is getting blocked from all the food for all the animals up there. They're going down to another level. They're going to the middle part of the island, and then they're going to eat all the gardens, I think.
Well, you know, when you get a large population of anything, of pigs or people or wild buffalo, it's called density, and if you have too much density, a population in one place, it exceeds the carrying capacity of the land. It puts too much environmental stress, endangered species of plants and endemic species of plants that are found nowhere else in the world, they get trampled.
What?
Yeah, the environment gets degraded, streams get fouled. And that can happen with too much pigs and also with too much people. It's great that you're calling in, caller.
Oh, wait. Also, there's another thing about it. All the pigs are not in the mountains anymore. They're in that area. That's why there's so many pigs down at that middle part.
It sounds like if there's plenty of food for them, you know, they're going to come by on a regular basis and they're going to say, hey, cuz, get plenty of food over here. And so the more pigs will come, like a big magnet, yeah?
It's happening all over the island.
Yeah. Yeah, it's managing our resources, human, animal. It's challenging. People in America, they have all kind of crazy ideas about, you know, you can just take everything for free forever. And sometimes, you know, you gotta go easy on the land.
Call one of the hunters. Ask Uncle Joey or something.
Oh, okay. Well, how old are you, caller?
I'm just a kid. My dad let me call.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy when people under 50 call into the radio station.
Bye.
All right, aloha.
Aloha.
Wow, it's so great. I love when people call in. If you are listening now to Kauai Community Radio and you've never heard the station, if you never called in before, now is a great time to do it. We're going to do a little bit of station business, take care of this stuff that we need to play, and we'll be right back after more of this.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
That's the official station ID. Want to make sure that you know that you've got it tuned in to 90.9 here on the North Shore, 91.9 on the east and west side of Kauai and Ni'ihau, 92.7 in Ko'olau, that's in Anahola and Molawa'a, 104.7 on Oahu, 95.1 on the cable, and then streaming worldwide all across the planet at kkcr.org. And so that's how people in Hilo and Osaka and Honolulu and California and Mexico, that's how people like you can listen all over the world. And if you're listening, thank you so much for listening. I want to invite you to go over and support KKCR. You can go on the donate button at the front page of kkcr.org and click on that, and your support at any level will help us continue to thrive. We got a caller who called in right now. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha, Jonathan. I'd like to comment about two things that you've been talking about that are related. I'm going to see if I can tie them together.
Okay. A twofer.
You're talking about how expensive it is to get a permit to go vacation in Kalalau because the state is in control of it. And I just, you know, I've just been reading so much about this because at least three times in the paper, and one time was a quote from the head of the state of Division of Land and Natural Resources, referring to Kalalau as this pristine wilderness and that we need to preserve it for these experiences, these wilderness experiences. And I got to tell you, it just makes me want to vomit because that is bogus revisionist history.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying, you feel that's not an accurate statement?
I think it is a calculated, contrived rewriting of history to take one-third of our island and give it to the visitor industry as this wilderness area. That was productive farmland, some of the most productive farmland on the island 100 years ago. People don't know this, but they were exporting. There were boats that would stop in Kalalau and load kalo, taro, and shit, take it to Honolulu for the poi mills. People were, and there were people that were, when Hanalei was filled with rice, there were still poi mills in Hanalei, and they were bringing kalo out of all the Nepali valleys to feed the poi mills in Hanalei. That has been farmland for 1,000 years. And in the last, like, 50 years, the state has decided to take that out of productive farmland, those were family farms, and turn it into this, actually repaint it as this as this fake pristine wilderness area so people can come here and have this fake Hawaiian experience. If they want the real Hawaiian experience, they should repopulate that those valleys with farmers and farm them. That would give people a real visitor experience.
Well, you know, it's really interesting to me is a lot of times, you know, you have Western environmentalists and Western scientists and stuff, and they take a look at the quote-unquote natural environment, and they, because of their worldview, they see the world as like the natural environment and the man-made environment. And a lot of times you have human impact and stress on these ecosystems. And so their answer to that is to separate the two. And that doesn't make any sense to me because, you know, people are natural. Like, we're not from other planets.
Well, and with Nepali, it's beyond that, right? Because everything in that valley that you see, with the exception of the streams themselves, is that landscape is man-made, whether purposely by the Hawaiians or as a result of introduced invasive species.
Right. So,
go ahead. They're rewriting it as this, and that is the term that the state is using, a pristine wilderness.
Well,
and
yeah.
An absolute caca.
Yeah, well, they want to, like, sanitize people out of the landscape, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. And here's an example I give, and this seems to help a lot of people understand, like a little light bulb sometime goes on.
Yep.
So you have, like, a great big grizzly bear, okay, walking through the forest. And the bears, they mark their territory by getting up on their hind legs and scratching grooves in the bark of the trees. And so, and when other bears come by, they can see these grooves. And if the grooves are higher than they can reach, they're like, oh, not my territory. Better get out of here. So here's the question. Are those grooves on the tree, are they natural or are they bear made? Like the terraces in Kalalau Valley, are they natural or are they man-made?
Well, so I suppose all, you know, the piles of toilet paper or doo-doo left by hippies now might be considered natural.
Yeah.
It depends on where you start the clock.
Well, right? what my understanding is that's very unnatural behavior.
I agree. So is setting the clock, right? Resetting the clock and calling something that is entirely man-made pristine wilderness. It's revisionist history, and it is just because they removed all the Hawaiians from those valleys, right? Doesn't make it a wilderness area. They created almost all the features in those valleys.
Right.
Anyway, I just I heard you mention that, it tripped my trigger because I've been reading it so frequently. Apparently, they have the DLNR has this video out, right?
Well, it's a public relations thing. You know, the DLNR
right,
has their view,
thing.
And they're trying to spin it their way and stuff. And it's like, actually, it's pretty clear you guys are failing fantastically to manage this, you know, resource appropriately. It's not that complicated.
Nope, not that complicated.
But I have a question for you, caller.
Yes, sir.
You said you were going to tie two things together.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. And so what they've done is they've taken a productive agricultural area and had tried to repaint it as this wilderness area for a visitor experience, right? And so at the same time, there's a meeting going on, I think just about at the end of your show, 6 o'clock in Kilauea, about nene on our new agricultural lands, right? And the nene, if people don't know, are kind of the new old pig of agricultural lands.
What does that mean?
Because it is a native species that was basically eaten almost into extinction.
Because they're so tasty, right?
Because they're kind of dippy, but also they're a pain in the okoli to farmers.
Ah.
Severe damage to cauliflowers in Hanalei, to sweet corn farmers, all sorts of farmers. And again, the state has decided that we, private landowners, small farmers, need to bear the brunt of conserving and supporting these species because there is no habitat plan. Neither the Fish and Wildlife Service nor the state is managing any habitat to feed these birds. All they do is protect their nesting grounds at the refuges. The birds fly off and look for somebody to feed them. And they're in Kilauea. They're going around the island begging, explaining why we should open up our farms and feed these old new pigs.
Yeah, well, so it's just another example of a failed management paradigm.
Exactly. So they've taken that traditional beautiful farmland in on the Nepali and turned it into a visitor destination, and now they're taking our new farmland and turning it into conservation land for Nene.
So
how I'm tying those together.
And Nene are great, but you know, clearly we can come up with a better solution. So how are
we going to do that? I got one. If they want Nene on my farm, I will open my arms, because they're K-selected species just like chickens, and they just need to tell me how many Nene they want, and I'll farm them. And they should pay me just like they pay somebody to farm chickens.
All right. Well, that maybe that will happen right now because you put it out on KKCR.
So I said that idea is out of the box, so I thought it's kind of appropriate, but it would work.
Yeah, all right. So why don't you give out your number so people can contact you if they want to follow up?
Sure, 635-8290. I will farm Nene if the price is right.
Okay, all right, that's fantastic. All right, aloha.
Thanks, brother.
Aloha. And we got another caller who has been waiting patiently. Are you still there, caller?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, thanks so much for calling in. I'm sorry it took so long to get to you.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly okay. I enjoyed your banter with the previous caller and his knowledge and passion and wisdom and to setting the historical record right. But I did want to comment on the pigs, and which I hope most people know, it's a really serious problem. It's going to get worse. And
now you're talking about these are the pigs in where are these pigs now?
Well, in general,
oh, okay,
in
just
the whole
in general.
State of Hawaii,
okay.
That the pigs formerly lived up in the mountains, and now they've come down to the lowlands, and their numbers are only going to increase and cause more havoc and distress for landowners and farmers, and also for the environment, increase erosion and runoff into the streams and the ocean. And a lot of the problem, besides our bureaucracy and regulatory apparatus, is the American population has a very skewed view about animals.
Well, that's because they were given garbage information growing up. That's all. You know,
yeah,
garbage in, garbage out.
I have a term for that, which I coined. It's called the Bambi syndrome.
Oh, okay.
And that movie about Bambi did so much damage to people's minds all over the world.
Well, it's a beautiful story,
yeah.
And it's a heartwarming, tearjerker, you know, cartoon, right?
Right. Anyway, you it's just when that mean hunter killed Bambi's mother, you know, that was the moment. But anyways, our government needs to get serious about managing pig populations and, you know, limiting their dispersal and population numbers.
Well, I know that they're up in the Wei Mauka, up in the Alakai Swamp and stuff. I know there's endangered plant species up there and endemic species that grow nowhere else in the world that they put pig fences up to protect them from getting trampled and eaten and stuff. But I think that they've been having some success up there. But if that's true, then that's habitat that the pigs are being deprived of, and so the pigs are going to go elsewhere looking for food. And if the Harders up on the North Shore are giving away free dog chow to a thundering herd of pigs, well, you know, they're going to go where the food is.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. Yeah, I was an organic farmer for 27 years on the Big Island in the Puna District, and in Volcano National Park, they had that issue of trying to keep the pigs from destroying valuable endemic native species, and it's a huge battle, you know.
Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that. I got some other callers standing by.
Yeah, and I appreciate your program and your wisdom and insights. Thank
well,
you.
I don't know about wisdom and insight. I leave that to callers like you. I just try and hold down the banter.
Thank you very much.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And we have a caller here? No. Okay. What about, you have a caller here? No. No. Okay, we got a caller coming in right here. Aloha, caller. Are you there?
Aloha, Jonathan J.
Aloha.
Hi, it's Al from Kaloa.
Oh, hey, Al from Kaloa.
Hi. We got pigs down here, too, and some of these pigs are huge. I mean, you can smell them outside your house. So, I mean, we have to decide how long we and how much we want to deal with this problem. And I just remembered that, you know, the car accident happened up on the North Shore a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah? What was that? Was that related to the pigs?
Well, no, but I mean, it blocked the highway for like 3 or 4 hours, as is usual with a fatality. But, what if that happened with one of those pigs up there? You know, somebody pulled out and then they hit a kid running up from a car to, you know, see the pigs. I mean, this is a problem we should deal with sooner rather than later, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about was I just finished this book called Island by, do you know who?
I will when you tell me.
Well, it was Aldous Huxley.
Oh, I heard of that guy. The yeah. Doors of Perception.
Yeah, he also wrote that great book and a few more. And this is the last book he wrote. It was just called Island, and it's a mythical island in the South Pacific, blending the best of the Western culture and Eastern culture. And it was sort of a summation of his whole life, and it was just a great, I mean, it was just outstanding book. I just want to recommend.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you doing that, calling in and sharing. And I got to tell you, when you said, you know, the best of the East and the best of the West culture, it suddenly popped into my head, which I've never thought before. Like, where do the East and West meet?
Well, maybe here.
Right.
I don't know.
And if they do meet here in the center of the Pacific, that's a Polynesian place. That's neither East nor West. That's a whole transcendent third rail.
Yeah, we're the mystical continent of Mu or Lemuria or something. Who knows?
Well, or you have just the amazing mana'o and wisdom of thousands of years of Polynesians traveling across the oceans and finding tiny islands and terraforming them into places that are vital and filled with diversity of life. So we're pretty blessed. Maybe that's better than the best of the East and the West. I don't know.
Well, we do have the incredible gift of magnificent nature on this island. When I first came here 12 years ago and I went to the Kalalau lookout, I thought it was, you know, with the clouds over the ocean and the beautiful sculpted mountains over millennia. I just thought that was the most beautiful place I've ever been, and I've been to some pretty amazing places.
Well, I'd have to agree with you. So thanks so much for calling in and sharing your mana'o, your perspective.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, my pleasure. Nowhere else but on community radio.
Yeah.
We got some phones are still open. Let me get a bunch of this all. Boom, 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 drop. All right, so phones are totally open now. We know we've got somebody trying to call in from New York City. He's going to give us a report about the Hokulea, the preparations for the arrival of the Hokulea. That's the Polynesian voyaging canoe. It's traveled around the world and will be coming into from the islands in the Pacific to Manhattan Island and the mouth of the Hudson River. So please do call in. Hopefully this is it right now. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks so much for calling Kauai Community Radio.
Aloha, Jonathan Jay. I'd like to try and wrap them all together, too.
Okay.
It's all about access and water, as both our brothers said. And the pigs are being kept out of the top of the mountains in different areas. The water is being diverted. The pigs are moving down. And I totally agree with revisionist history, but it's more than revisionist history. It's DLNR's need for revisionist marketing of wilderness.
Well, you know, and this is something that I've heard a lot of local families talk about, local families, Hawaiian families. You know, they say the Western scientists are all concerned about this endangered species, like the, you know, take your pick, like the humpback whale, or the honua, the sea turtle, or honu. Oh, let me get Nihi up here. Does that sound good, Nihi?
Yeah.
Okay. So, or the monk seal. They're all concerned about these endangered species, but what about the endangered cultures? You know, what about the people who lived here for 1,000 years who were pushed out of their valleys or pushed off their lands?
And the nene who are extinct or, like, endangered.
Yeah, but how do we do a better job on all of these issues, not just cherry pick, yeah?
That's right. And why is it that to be able to go to Kalalau, you have to book months in advance on some reservation agency, and you can't go for cultural practices?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy that if you hike the Alaloa Trail on the Nepali, you get ticketed.
Oh, shucks. I'm sorry, caller.
What happened?
How about now? Are you there, caller?
I am. Are you?
I pressed the wrong button. I'm trying to figure out how to get a caller calling in from New York to talk about the Hokulea, but please continue.
Well, I'll sure hang up the minute they call.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll try that.
No.
So continue until they call. I will do that.
Well, I wanted to touch on the pigs, too. In the same vein, people keeping captive chickens bring more wild feral chickens to the neighborhood, too.
Mm.
It's a reality. And bringing a wildlife refuge brings in more seabirds, and that complicates agriculture in the Kilauea area incredibly. I know people that are really having a hard time with Nene already, and we got that guy down on Kilauea River that wants acres of Nene up to 500 down from the egg park that's been trying to come together for 30 years now. So what are we doing and where are we going? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know,
that we're doing.
That's par for the course, yeah? Running around with our heads cut off like chickens.
Island.
Yeah.
It's kind of harder bashing, that's harsh. And unless their pigs are escaping their fences, nobody can say anything about their farm practices.
Mm.
Really.
Well, thank you for calling in. I think we've got the other caller calling now, so I'm going to go to that next call. But thank you so much for calling in.
All righty. And if we didn't have so many fences and gates, maybe we wouldn't have as many pigs because the pig hunters could get Malka.
Oh, true. Aloha. That. True that. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it? Hey, I got a suggestion. We have a lot of really good hunters on this island.
Yes, we do.
Everybody knows there's a major pig problem, but you know you can only hunt legally on state lands Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Are you aware of that?
I do not know.
Hunting to every day. Right there, they can cut the pig population in half.
Well, it's tricky because you don't want, you know, people going crazy, running around, popping each other with guns or bow hunting or whatever. So it makes sense that you want to have some kind of coordination, yeah? But I don't know. I don't know what is the solution.
Yeah, well, like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of really good, responsible hunters. They're not going to be really popping people in the head. But they just need to cut the population of pigs down. So that's the easiest way to do it is give the hunters more opportunity to hunt.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Right on. Well, that's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. So phone lines are still open, still trying to get a call in from New York. Let's see. Maybe this is working right now. Aloha, caller. Are you there? No. Aloha, caller. Are you there? No. No. How about this? Caller, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hey, aloha. Is this Jonathan?
This is.
Okay, cool. This is Kainoa.
Ah, Kainoa.
Hi, Kainoa.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you. Thank you for persevering, yeah. Appreciate that. So for folks who don't know, Kainoa, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're calling from New York City, yeah?
Yeah, so we just had our Hokule workshop. We're putting together a ki pai pai or a welcome ceremony because Hokule is landing on June 5th at North Cove Marina.
Which is my birthday.
In Manhattan.
Happy birthday, Uncle Jonathan.
And, yeah, so I met Lizzie. That's Ohana to Jonathan.
Yeah, that's my kid sister.
Your sister, correct. And she shared this opportunity, so I said, you know, why not Kokua? And I'm walking on my way home. I'm on my way home, so I was like, oh, I just call home, share a little bit about what we're doing.
Well, I'm so happy to hear from you, especially because in the last 100 years or so, Hawaiians moving all over the world, you know, it's a diaspora. And so everywhere you go, there's Hawaiians. And so it's so wonderful to when you can call back home and let us know about the Hawaiian perspective on the rest of the world. And particularly right now, it's so exciting about the Hokulea. So please tell us a little bit about your family history, how it was you came to New York, and what you got going for this next week to prepare.
Yeah, cool. Well, my name is Kainoa Embernate. My immediate family, I grew up them calling me Bryson. I'm from Hilo, Hawaii, and I grew up in Honoka'a and in Waimea. I grew up a real Paniolo style kind of life. My family, they have I think it's a 100-acre ranch.
Oh, nice.
Up in Waimea. And so real Paniolo style on the Big Island. Went to Honoka'a Elementary, real sugar plantation style, you know, town. Let's see. And then I got accepted into Kamehameha on Oahu. And so grateful I actually graduated high school. It seemed like every year I was on academic probation.
Wow, good for you. You know, if you're not on probation, you're not trying hard enough.
Right. I wanted to go to college in California, but didn't really, you know, have enough funds despite, you know, no matter how much scholarships I was trying for. So I ended up going to University of Hawaii at Hilo, switched my majors a couple of times, and then I kind of got back into the language. Kumuhaunani Bernardino, I met her through one of my friends, and she said, you should learn Hawaiian language. So I did. I learned Spanish in high school, never really spoke Hawaiian growing up, and transformed my whole life.
It
opened
really?
Up so many gateways and, you know, of learning and opportunity and long-lasting relationships that I took for granted growing up in Hawaii.
Can you share one of the portals that opened for you once you began to learn the Olelo Hawaii?
Well, what had happened was, you know, into the second year of really learning Hawaiian with Kumuhaunani, and she passed.
Mm.
And, you know, before, you know, one of our last meetings, she had, you know, basically Hawaiian style. She gave me a kuleana, and she said, you know, it's important that, you know, you share the language and culture, but most importantly, you create long-lasting relationships. And I didn't really get it at that time because I was just being selfish. I was out drinking. I wanted to go party, go beach.
How old were you?
You know, I was 26, I think.
Yeah, boys.
30 on Monday.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, boys mature a little more slowly than girls.
What's that?
What happened? Like, Uncle Jonathan, Jason, congratulations to about something.
Oh, his birthday.
This Monday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Monday was my birthday.
Oh,
happy belated birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Mahalo.
And this is Nihi. Nihi Joe Asquith is my co-host here on the show. We do, in a few minutes, we're going to be ending Out of the Box and going to a new show called What's for Dinner.
Yes.
where we talk about what we're going to have for dinner. But, we're going to stick with you though, because I'm speaking with Kainoa, and you born and raised in Hawaii, but somehow, through all of the voyages and journeys and transformations, today you find yourself in New York City. So how did that come to be?
I was lecturing at UH Hilo for a while, and then I wanted to learn more. You know, I was into watching Food Network and cooking channels, and so I had applied to the French Culinary Institute, one of the more prestigious culinary schools in the world. And it was right in Manhattan in New York. So I let my ohana and friends know in Hilo that I was moving, and they supported that. And when I moved, I needed to pay New York's rent.
Stiff.
So I started teaching Hawaiian.
Oh.
And teaching Hawaiian here in the city, now I created a network with one of my really good friends, Kapenala Pai from Kona. And we are teaching Hawaiian and sharing the culture out here at NYU. We just connected with this new group called Endangered Languages Alliance.
There you go.
We're connecting with two theaters. And so with Hokulea coming, it's bringing high visibility to a lot of things Hawaiian.
Yeah, because
language, culture.
This is like Hawaiian rock stars.
Yeah. But it's not, and you know, there's a lot more people out here that, you know, need to be credited. There's so many, there's a huge community out here that's been living out here, and you know, all the way going back to Hotel Lexington, when they used to have the big band room on the top floor, they had, it was called the Hawaiian Room.
Oh.
And then I believe the I think the Daughters of what's that group called, of Hawaii, I think they funded a documentary where they met with the original dancers of the Hawaiian Room, and they shared their story about Hotel Lexington. Another gentleman, he's from Keokaha, Hawaii, but he was the curator at Carnegie Hall for about 27 years. And so there's a lot of those folks out here that, you know, they've shared their aloha in New York City and in New Jersey, in the tri-state area. So, you know, I'm just standing on their shoulders and trying to do my best to, you know, uphold and continue the legacy of Hawaii.
How many Hawaiians do you think roughly, just roughly round numbers, are living in the tri-state area? That's New York, New Jersey, and what else?
New York, New Jersey, I would consider Connecticut.
Ah, okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I've came in contact with at least 200.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Personally come in contact with.
And then the classes that you're teaching at NYU, is that right?
Yeah, it's an extension of the Asian Pacific American Institute.
Oh, okay.
So they offer a space there. And then we just landed another permanent home for Hawaiian at the Endangered Languages Alliance.
So how many students do you have are taking classes, and what is the mix of students? Are they all Hawaiian?
No, they're Hawaiian by blood and Hawaiian at heart.
Ah.
And they range all ages. And we also teach all the different hula schools. They're mostly hobbyists and enthusiasts of hula. And one school, they're a satellite hala hula school based out of Oahu. So, yeah, lots of teaching, lots of learning and sharing. Overall we're sharing language with about 40 different people, and it's growing with Hokulea coming. So we're really excited.
Well, that sounds really excited. I'm really excited for you. It sounds exciting. and I love the Hawaiian language. I only know like a couple hundred words because I'm a slow learner.
Hey.
Well, it's true. It's true. People say, oh, Jonathan, you think you're so smart, but really you're slow. And I'm like, yeah? Everybody already knew. I just figured it out. But so tell us a little bit about the Hokulea coming in, because it was just in Washington, D.C. last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And is it crawling up the coast now? How does that work?
It is crawling up the coast. And, you know, it's re-energizing and reminding, I think, a lot of everyone, whether they're transplants or they're natives of the land, it's reminding everyone of their connection to where they come from and what their responsibility is, whether they're on their land or they're not, to Island Earth.
Right.
And this mission of Mala Mahonua, of to care for the earth, is universal. And I think what is amazing about about Hawaiians on a canoe traveling around the world is that it's one of the many examples that just show the boundless capacities of the human spirit.
Oh, I'm going to write that down.
And so the immediate examples that I can share with you that's been happening here in New York is that we've been connecting, we meaning Hala Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that connects Hawaiian organizations and hosts Hawaiian events here in New York. But they've been facilitating and connecting different groups, more specifically the First Nations people, Native Americans, that are hosting all of us Malihini here in New York.
Oh, yeah. So now you Malihini. That's so funny.
Now we are Malihini.
So funny.
So we connected with the Shinnecocks in the Long Island.
Mm-hmm. And the Algonquin and the Iroquois.
Exactly. Right. And the Lenape Hoking descendants. So we've been working with a lot of people in Hilo and Oahu to, you know, come up with chants that are relevant, dances that to that connection to the hosts of this land and honor them as we are their Malihini, and to really pay respect to, you know, the real Manahaka, Turtle Island.
Manahaka, what does that mean? Is that Haka is like a dance and Mana is the wisdom? Or is
it's funny how it actually aligns with the idea of Haka. And, you know, in Hawaiian language, Mana means, you know, to be of
power,
a certain quality, a higher quality, power, powerful. And then haka means to possess or to sit or to be on a shelf. And so that idea of being present and engaging presently, coming from that, you know, Hawaiian perspective and connecting here with the hosts of Mauna Haka or Manhattan.
Oh.
The westernized name. you know, if something resonates in people's na'au, in our gut, when we all meet together and we practice for the welcome ceremony, and there's that byproduct is priceless. I'm having a hard time explaining it.
It's coming through a little bit. Nihi, what do you understand that he's saying? Oh, I'm asking Nihi. I'm bringing her into the conversation. Nihi, what did you get from what he's saying?
I get about the haka, haka is a type of dance in the Maori culture, and.
Did you know that Mauna Haka is the Polynesian, the Hawaiian way to say Manhattan? You ever hear that before?
Nope.
That was new to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of dances or what kind of mele are you finding that will be appropriate in this day, today, in the third millennium, the 21st century, out in Mauna Haka, where you are now the Malahini?
Well, one mele we're doing is entitled Kaulana e Koholo Ahokulea, which proclaims how famous and honored the travel and the sailing is of Hokulea.
the first verse, we honor Kanaloa, the, you know, god of the ocean, and his powers over the ale, the swells and the waves.
I can hear them.
And providing the context for Hokulea to deliver this message. And then we honor the different legs of Hokulea and all the different aina, such as, let's see, Africa, all the way to Florida.
And Aotearoa.
And Aotearoa. You know, how it all came actually out of Hilo.
Right.
Which is really weird. And we're finding that there's a lot of Hilo people here in New York that are just coming out of the woodworks.
Well,
like, oh, wow.
It's a great opportunity for everybody to come together. And, you know, you're talking about the different places that the Hokulea has traveled to. I don't know if they've been to the Aegean Sea yet.
I haven't.
Mm.
But I would love something very powerful and very magical is going to happen, I think, when a Polynesian voyaging canoes sail the wine dark seas of Homer and Ulysses, and these two ancient maritime cultures are going to connect. That's going to be something profound, and I'm really stoked for that to happen. I'm praying for that to happen in my lifetime so that I can find out what it's going to be like, a nuclear explosion of goodness.
Well, you just declared it in language, and in language there's life, and in language there's death. So that's a possibility that you just created. So,
well, I hope it will be an explosion of goodness and not a nuclear explosion. I guess there was life and death bundled up in that one.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing here, you know. And I think one thing that when we're at home in Hawaii, we think, oh, you know, all our cousins and friends and family from Hawaii and the mainland, they don't know anymore, you know, because they're using all kinds of different drums, or they don't really have the right fabric or the right materials. But, you know, when you're out here, you really have to know your purpose, and using the materials that, you know, you're using, you need to have the kuleana of using it. I think we just finished the dance parade. There's a 10th annual dance parade this past weekend. And if you go on to the Hokulea Crew's Facebook, there's a small video of us.
Oh.
We decorated the whole float like Hokulea. And we had some Maori dances, Tahitian dances. And we had some of the halau, the hula schools, do their hula. You know, and we had Native American drum and that I was playing. But some of the comments from Ohana back in Hawaii were like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to use a drum, and you're not supposed to hit the drum with a stick, and, you know, that's not Hawaiian. And they're right. But, you know, we were trying to think, how could we honor the host culture? And so a lot of things get misinterpreted when it comes to media. And, you know, that's why I'm so appreciative that, you know, that there's this opportunity to share with you two and all the listeners right now that, you know, we are doing our best out here to honor you, our families, and everyone else, our friends back at home on all the islands.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking with some of the Kūkia I Mauna, the protectors over on Big Island with this
Mauna Kea.
With this whole conflict about trying to build a super telescope in a sacred conservation zone. And, you know, they came up with this notion of, and Kalamai for describing that so casually, but Kapu Aloha. And they said that they got some pushback from some kupuna. They're like, hey, that's not a traditional kapu. That's, you know, you're just making that up. And I'm doing a bad job describing this, but what they essentially were saying was, yeah, you know what? The Hawaiian culture is not, it's not only in the history books. It didn't stop in 1778. It's alive today, and it responds to contemporary conditions and new situations that never had to deal with before. And so that's what I understand you to be doing. You know, Polynesians, in the present tense.
I totally agree. And, you know, it's like a basketball game. You have two perspectives. You have the stands, the people in the stands, and they're watching the game on the court. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Spectators.
And then you have the people on the court that's speaking the language on the court, that's on the court, and that's okay as well, you know? So you have these two positions, I'll say, you know, the stand on the court. But it's how they interact, I feel, is either going to help things or it's going to be unfavorable. And that's where there needs to be a shift in language and receiving and more listening to one another.
Mm.
Because I feel like everyone wants the same goal, but maybe the medium and maybe the method of which they're trying to obtain the goal is different, you know?
Go ahead.
The idea of Papu Aloha, I think, is just relevant. You know, they're trying to keep it relevant to what their mission is, to protect the Mauna.
So, and I'm just getting, you know, chicken skin is kind of, as I'm listening to what you're saying, really, I really appreciate it. And I'm wondering, for you, in May of 2016, on the Gregorian calendar, yeah? With the Hokulea is already sailed out of the Pacific, into the Indian, across the Atlantic, and all these waters are connected, you know, there's... It's not really different oceans. It's all one ocean. But here you are on shores that Polynesians never touched 200 years ago. And you're in your life journey where you are right now. What are you learning? What is surprising you in anticipation for the Hokulea come in?
I'm learning that we all come from nothing. Every creation story that I've learned, I always focused on the wrong things. And being present and listening as a Hawaiian, but mostly as a human, I'm bringing more awareness to how I came from nothing. And the way that was created was in language. One day my mom and dad said, hey, I want a son. And they had a son. And a lot of times, it's when we have nothing that we create everything. And if we reflect on where we all came from, we are everything to our parents.
What is that?
And everything that we create comes from nothing. Once we declare it, it becomes everything. And so here in May 2016, all the way in New York City, I look at the mission of Hokulea and how it reminds us that our life is so short, but the legacy we create and build is forever. Because, I mean, not to morbidly offer humor in this light, but when we pass away, all we are is that little dash in between our birth date and our death date. 2 hours after we pass, you know, everyone's going to go Starbucks, go Denny's, and then, you know, they're going to remember you. I mean, it's great. And not to, you know, bring shame upon our kupuna that went before us, but I think it just brings into perspective that our impressions on one another and our island Earth is really important. And we come from nothing, and so we need to remind each other and remind ourselves mostly that, you know, we really need to humble ourselves and bring it down to nothing. And our lives are too short to be going at each other and competing and
being right
and talking more than listening, you know? So that's what I'm learning for myself.
Well, I don't know who said it recently. I came across this quote, but it said that nothing is pretty much everything. And to me, that's really profoundly meaningful. Like, inside the atoms of your body, it's mostly nothing, but that's everything. That's the whole universe. So, and I know, at a variety of levels, even the words that we are saying right now in radio waves, they will be broadcast at the speed of light in every direction for infinity. So that's a long way. So I want to thank you, Kainoa, for sharing your words with us today. It's so great to hear the Olelo, the voice of Hawaiian, from almost the other side of the world, coming back and speaking in the present moment, in the now, here on Kauai. It's an honor to be able to have you on the radio.
Well, mahalo to you for hosting, you know, this opportunity, not just for me, but your partner there, and for all the listeners, the loyal followers, you know, who support your program, because maika'i kawa'i hemulali kamali. And, you know, I look forward to having future conversations. And now you got my phone number, and now I know Lizzie. And so let's create a long-lasting relationship.
All right, that sounds great.
Too short.
That sounds great. And I hope to be able to speak with you again in a couple of weeks, or maybe you can hook us up with some other folks. And you can tell us about what was it like? What was it like? What were some of the experiences with the Hokulea in the Hudson River? The Hokulea on the Hudson. Mm. I mean, who could have imagined that?
Yeah, we're really excited. So stay tuned for pictures. If you haven't, go like Hokulea Crew on Facebook, because they're posting pictures, announcements. And if you're in the New York area, for those of you that's listening, check out Halawai, HALAWAI.org.
Halawai.org. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, they post events. And yeah, contact us, and we'll definitely be ready to host and catch you folks when you come to Manahaka.
Well, Kainoa. Kainoa, mahalo nui loa to you, and aloha, and malama pono, and ahui ho.
Mahalo, aloha.
Aloha.
So, wow, it's so great to get a call like that. So stoked. But, wow, you know what time it is, Nihi?
Dinner time.
Oh, I'm so crazy hungry.
Me too.
Oh, my God, I'm so crazy hungry.
Me too.
Oh, I'm so crazy hungry. Hey. Oh, wow. Hey, Nihi, check this out. Let me hand this to you. This is some chocolate truffle. I thought you might like this. Can you get it?
Yep.
All right, yeah. Taste that, because that's what's going to be for dessert. But right now, it's what's for dinner.
I like these new headphones.
Yeah, these new headphones rock.
What kind of headphones are they?
I don't know, like maybe Sony's or something.
Oh my gosh, I love those.
So if you've never heard What's for Dinner before, What's for Dinner is a show where we tell you what we're having for dinner tonight, and you tell us what you're having for dinner. And, you know, it's going to have to be a lightning fast round of What's for Dinner. So phone lines are open, 826-7771, and we want to hear from you. What's for dinner? And we got the first caller. Aloha, caller. Can you hear us, caller?
Technical report that I'm listening on Wi-Fi, and when I tuned in at the beginning, I heard the program live time, but then at about 5:26, it started playing the first part of the program over again. It's like I haven't heard the up until now the second part of the program.
Well, right now we're talking about What's for Dinner, and I am starving personally. So if you can share with us what you're going to have for dinner, please do. Then we get to go to the next caller. Lightning round.
I guess I'll run to my kitchen, but I guess I'll not tell you and hang up. And thank you.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Aloha.
Hello.
Uh-oh, phone line's open. 826-7771. Tell us what you got cooking, what you got for dinner. I am so crazy hungry, I can't wait for you to call 826-7771. Phone line's open. Nihi, what are you having for dinner tonight?
I don't know, Mom. I don't know yet.
Oh, I got a text from my friend, my dear friend Roland. He says, tonight's dinner is slow-cooked chicken with roast purple sweet potatoes, salad from the garden, ooh, and gravy.
Maybe you can have what we're having, but I don't know what.
All right, well, let's see what this next caller's having. Aloha, caller, what you cooking? What's for dinner?
Aloha, I'm having a beautiful piece of manchong with a mac pesto that I made.
Wait, what is it called?
Organic farmer's market.
Mac pesto?
Organic sushi rice with salad full of awesome Kauai organic greens.
And what was the first thing that you said?
Manchong with a pesto sauce on top.
So what?
What's manchong?
Yeah,
manchong.
What is that?
Huh? What is it? You know manchong? It's a fish.
Oh, oh, it sounds delicious.
Manchong?
Oh, it's amazing. You've never had manchong?
Me? No.
Nope.
Oh, go down Hanalei Fish Market and Dolphin Fish Market and get a piece.
Yes, yes. Amazing.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for that. How do you spell that?
M-O-N-G-C-H-O-N-G.
Wait.
M-O-N-C-H-O-N-G. Manchong.
I don't get it.
It's a kind of fish, Nihi.
I know, but
yeah, it's a white fish. It's really rich and juicy, and they even sell it at Costco sometimes.
Oh, manchong.
Does it taste like Hawaiian moi?
Does it taste like moi?
It's more like I can't even describe it. It's like it has its own flavor.
Whoa.
It's rich. It's buttery. It's so good.
Oh,
that
sounds.
It
sounds so. Oh no. Well, thanks for calling in.
And you're
so welcome.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, sharing what you got cooking. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good dinner.
All right, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Let me get another caller. Oh, phone lines are open. 826-7771. So, what else? What else? I'm so hungry. I didn't eat a lunch this afternoon. It was a mistake.
You are funny.
I know. Phones are still open. 826-7771. Oh yeah, thank you. I know you told me that. So why don't you just stick around? Because right after what's for dinner? Oh, we can't do that yet. Don't you? No, because I got to do the other thing. But yeah, thank you. I'm getting some extra help. Jonathan J. People recognize that I benefit from a lot of help. So I really appreciate everyone who's ever helped me get something done. And big ups right now to Lindsay, who is making sure that I stay on track. So let's see. I got to do... Oh, I never played these underwriters, Nee.
You...
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
So a big thank you to Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, Compassionate Care, and listeners just like you who do so much to help KKCR Kauai Community Radio help us thrive. So thanks so much for that. Any last thoughts about dinner for tonight, Nee? I'm so crazy hungry.
Me too.
Yeah. So we're gonna go out with the county council report from John Gordon, and then up next comes Dove.
Ew.
That's right. It's going to be a very, very special show tonight. Right, Dove? Uh-huh. All right. So here's the county council report. Thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your afternoon and evening or your morning, wherever you are, with us here at kkcr.org. And now here is a little window into our local self-governance.
I'm sorry the show went around so short.
It's okay. It was a great show.
No, I know, but it was so short, though.
I know, but we got to hear about the Hokulea.
Yeah, but, like, we were supposed to start at 5:30.
I know. We went over. And now, if we keep going, we'll be over twice so that we can't do that. So here's the county council report. And then next up, Evolve with Dove.
Can I take off my headphones?
You sure can.
The new headphones.
New ones.
I finally got to try them on.
Woohoo!
What happened to the other ones?
I don't know, but they're so great.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of May 23rd. There will be a public hearing Tuesday, May 24th at 8:30 a.m., and the council committee meeting will follow the hearing. The hearing and meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights in the agendas. The public hearing will be on communications from the mayor submitting his supplemental budget communication for fiscal year 2016-2017 and proposed amendments to the budget bills. Here highlights in the committee meeting agenda. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has on their agenda bill 2628 for an ordinance to amend the county code relating to revocable permits in county-designated rights-of-way, and a public hearing was held on this on May 18th. The Planning Committee has on their agenda bill number 2627 for an ordinance to amend the county code, adding a new Article 5B relating to the Lihue Planning District, and the County of Kauai is the applicant, and this was deferred from May 11th. The Budget and Finance Committee has communications from Budget and Finance Committee Chair Connie Sherrill transmitting the proposed increases to deductions from and other proposed amendments plus minus sheet to the Mayor's Fiscal Year 2016-2017 Annual Operating and Capital Improvement Project Budgets. Also on their agenda is Resolution Number 2016-35, establishing the real property tax rates for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. For the county, and a public hearing was held on this on May 11th. The committee has two bills on their agenda. They are Bill Number 2625 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget and financing thereof for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. This is fiscal year 2016-2017. Operating budget and a public hearing was held on this on May 11th. Also on their agenda is Bill 2626 for an ordinance relating to capital improvement and financing for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. And that, again, is the fiscal year 2016-2017 CIP budget. Public hearing was held on this on May 11th. There will also be an Affordable Housing Committee meeting on Thursday, May 26, from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. in the P.E. Coy Building, Conference Room B. That's at 444 Rice Street in Lihue. For more information on meetings or meeting archives, please visit the county website. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.